Who am I?
Angus Blitter.
I'm a hacker, okay? My guidance counselor told me I could be cured. He was wrong. I belong to a little computer club called HackSec Clan. We pretty much were private. We're not as visible as everybody else. We're certainly not releasing a lot of exploits. We keep a lot of that shit to ourselves. However, we are trying to, you know, get involved in the community and present some hopefully fun topics. And our topic today is profiling. That's what we're here to talk about. We're going to try to talk about where it stands today and hopefully where it can go in the future and what utility it can bring to bear. And I'm also here to solicit your help. We're actually opening some things up to the world, but I think it's the people in this room and people like you that we're really trying to reach because for various reasons you'll hear as we present. Okay, let's start off. What is profiling? What profiling is not? What it is? What it was? What it is? Classification system. It is a classification system, much like, you know, when you identify somebody, they're a hermaphrodite or they're a homosexual, heterosexual. Those are characteristics. They have blonde hair, blue eyes. It's a classification system, mollusks, things like that. So that's its goal. That's what it is today. There seems to be general consensus that it's something that's needed. Okay, at least people think they need it because they are spending lots of money with people trying to develop it. And this is a fact, and we can get you all the government research solicitations that are out there to prove that. We also believe that it's something that's needed. We believe currently anybody who is effectively using profiling is more of an artisan than a scientist. Okay. I think there's a lot of us out there, if we're looking at log files, if we see that our network's coming under attack or under a probe, or if our phone's starting to click and we think somebody's listening to our calls, we actually go through an internal process of trying to classify, who this is. Anybody who's effective at it, it seems that it's more of an art. It's intuitive. You know, I know it's this guy that I, you know, stole his girlfriend or, I wrecked his car. He hasn't forgiven me, so... we go through that process. So there's some latent skills available to all of us there. What it is not, it's not a silver bullet. Like every initiative out there, I think we've gone through, was it phase one, firewall mania? Now there are appliances. Was it last year's technology du jour, intrusion detection? Okay, how many went out and bought one? Okay, I downloaded it. They're all looking for a silver bullet because, as I think the session before talked about, there's not enough education out there. The people that know their stuff really don't have time or the patience to deal with some of the new people that are coming online. And quite frankly, we don't think that the education out there is really up to snuff. So they look for a silver bullet, and it's shrink-wrapped on a shelf. We can buy it. Hey, let's do it. Let's order a million of them. It's not real time. And what we're going to talk about is the need for real-time decision support, okay? To me, profiling is a component of a total system, and it's only good for me if it is in real time, okay? I'm not really concerned about going out and arresting somebody or taking retribution as much as making split decisions in real time to protect my assets. Protect my ass. We want to turn it into more science. We really think it is not a science now. I'm sure there will be people that will argue with me that, and we'll open that up here for that. But I don't think that it is a science, and we're striving to make it more of a science. Well, who's doing it? Everybody's doing it. There's been some things recently in the news that I'll talk about concerning New Jersey State Police. Anybody heard of this? Anybody from East Coast? And how they're doing using profiling techniques to pull people over? Lots of controversy. We have some stuff that's going on right now. Anybody live in Colorado, that school shooting? And that's like, why didn't you know? You know, why didn't you stop this? Profiling. We've heard that a lot of different places. Maybe those are fads. Maybe that's something that's going to start happening. But we really see insurance agencies. They're really good at it. You know, they can tell you with a percentage of, you know, plus or minus 5% when you're going to die. Possibly how you're going to die. Yeah, heart attack, you know. They have to. That's their business. Credit card companies also, okay? Anybody had an experience where you tried to buy something outside of your normal buying patterns and you had to actually call? Okay? That's because you got flagged in a computer. And it said, hey, this is out of this person's buying profile. We should be concerned, especially since it's a monetary value above, you know, what we would like to lose, which credit card companies and banks don't want to lose any money. Airlines. This is one that's been in the news lately, especially with the second wave. I came up through the Reagan era, and war on drugs. Now we're in a war on information, or rights, I think. We want to take all our rights away. The airlines are engaging in profiling for terrorism. At least that's what they're saying, that they know when people come up and pay with cash, buy their ticket the last minute, are going through connecting flights, checking odd-sized packages. They're looking for that type of stuff, and I can tell you for a fact that they're doing more and more of this, and they're spending lots of money. If you want to know who's doing what and who's really dedicated to it, any public companies or any government companies through Freedom of Information Act, find out where they're spending their money. That's the key. If you want to know what the next big technology push is going to be in the security realm, look at the government solicitations for research. You will see it. Intrusion detection, firewalls, all that stuff are in those documents, and they're usually typically a year or 2 years ahead of schedule. And you figure if you develop it, you'll have a ready customer. Vertical, financial verticals, banks. Banks like to do profiling, and also trading companies like to do profiling because they use that information to try to ascertain where they should put their investments. Criminal psychologists or forensic science, a la Hannibal Lecter, these are the guys that try to go out and figure out who the next victim is going to be in a mass murder or some kind of serial killer. Also in forensic sciences, we collect evidence and try to figure out, what's this, the MO, what's the profile of this this individual so that we can predict their behavior. And most government agencies engage in profiling of some kind. IRS, obviously, they're looking for abnormalities or anomalies in your income and spending habits. I think the CIA also deals in it from a classification system. You'll see a lot of these government... Has anybody taken one of those psychological tests to figure out if you are going to become an enemy of the state or, hack your family up? Okay. Very bizarre questions. Like there's no right answer. They give you something like you have the option of running over a dog or hitting a pedestrian. What do you do? Okay? Well, I guess there is a right answer for that, but I won't tell you what my answer is. So it looks like we have people who are doing this, okay? The credit card companies are still making money. The airlines are still making money. So maybe it's working for them. It's certainly not going to put them out of business. So there must be some body of work that exists, and there must be some technologies that are being used. So what's the problem? Well, there's lots of theories. We're going to introduce some new ones here today. That might be part of the problem. They're all theories. Very few of these things are being discussed openly dissecting it and finding out if it's truly valid. We don't have much data, okay? There's no raw data in my collection that is substantial enough to show trends. Think of all the people that are doing it. Airlines, lots of travelers. Credit card companies, lots of transactions. They have the raw data. So they have been able to develop some logic to go against it. But there's no publicly available data. It's proprietary and or it's cloistered research. This is a competitive edge, especially in those commercial ventures. This is your family-style kung fu. This is the stuff you don't want to give up. That's a lot of it. The other reason is the research is very expensive, and that can pose some problems, especially if you're on a limited budget, which we are, by the way. There's no common methodology. When we talk about it being more of an art form than a science, that's really what we're getting to. There's some trends that you'll see in all these profiling activities, but to my knowledge, there is no true common methodology. And if there is, please turn me on to it because I'd love to read it. And there's no feedback loop. And this kind of goes hand in hand with the methodology in that when you learn something, again, if it's family style, it stays in the house and you know it. But how does that get fed back out there so that other people can look at it and tell you where it's right and where it's wrong, where it needs to be fixed? So this feedback loop does not exist, and I think we need that. Let me give you a little idea of why I'm up here talking to you about this in the first place. Let me give you some background on me. I have a day job. I moonlight as a consultant. And for like the last year and a half, I've been dealing with some new issues in enterprise security. The reason I started doing this was we went through all those phases. We sold everybody a firewall, everybody and their brother several firewalls. We also sold them intrusion detection, lots of it, scanning products, lots of services, all that fun stuff, education. And what I'm finding is that there's still a problem. Why aren't we secure? We got all this technology. We're spending all this money. Why doesn't it work? Well, people aren't using it correctly. That's certainly one reason. And I think it comes down. The gentleman said that one of the biggest problems with security, in his mind, was ignorance. I would say there's two. It's ignorance and laziness. Okay. The only way you're going to get people to stop being lazy, you can't stop people from being ignorant. You can train them all you want, but you can stop people from being lazy by making it their job not to be. And that's what's not happening. So they got all the technology. Maybe some of them have skills. They can certainly pay for the skills, but they still have an issue, still have a problem. The approach that we came up with, simple is better. Get back to the basics. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say you can get to a, let's say, 90% security, comfortable security, acceptable level of risk, whatever you want to call it, without spending a lot of money or any money. Back to the basics, okay? What would some of the basics be? Don't run services that you don't understand or you don't need, okay? Log everything. These basic things that I think many people in this room, especially if you've been through any 101 security class, you've heard it over and over and over again. In reality, are those very simple concepts being executed? My experience has been no. Okay, so we got to get back to basics and a common sense approach to enterprise security. What else? Well, we were developing some things for proactive computer forensics. Now, this was what our talk was originally going to be about, but we've decided to actually change the subject matter. But a lot of the research for this project came out of the proactive forensics. And I think if you're looking out there and you're seeing what presentations are being made, computer forensics will probably be the big business after year 2K. The sheer amount of litigation that's going to be derived from that will definitely point out that there is a shortage of competent and or certified computer forensics technicians. Okay, everybody remember the OJ trial? Okay, remember all the loopholes that were opened up just because they hadn't maintained chain of evidence? All right. So in that vein, what we did was we looked at the Affirm approach. Notice it's trademarked. Okay, all this stuff is theirs because it's a real product. And this Affirm approach appealed to us. What we have here is a typical mock-up of somebody's network. We got a bad guy there, the world of threats. Going through the internet, coming out to your publicly entrusted network, and doing bad things. This rig setup here that we have, you'll see the database, and we'll talk about each of these components. You see the database, you see a consolidated screen, see some SANE servers. This is an enterprise environment, okay? And one enterprise environment is a fancy way of saying you got a lot of different computers, different OSs, and they're geographically dispersed. Oh, and you have an IT budget. So, consolidated security console, what is this? Well, similar to HP OpenView or any of the network management stations, this is all vendor neutral stuff. So what, when I'm throwing these terms out here, I'm trying to get some verbiage together so that we have a common lingo. So the CSC is basically where all the information, all your decision support comes into one room. Like war rooms. Okay? Well, my war room is only staffed with one individual, or if somebody's over, there's two of us. So I need this consolidated screen. I need a place where I can look in one window and get instant feedback to what's going on in my environment. That's what the consolidated security console is all about. Now, you'll see a lot of vendors doing this stuff. I think Checkpoint, their network management concept. I know HP OpenView is looking to put security components, and they should be easily plugged in, right? Because they, you know, adhere to certain open standards. We then have data collection points. Data collection points, or data control points, again, a generic term. Basically, these are elements of a network that can either collect information and get it to wherever it needs to be processed, or it can be a choke point. It can control that portion of the network. So examples would be firewalls. Okay, firewalls, well, how do they give information back? They can do proprietary methods or log files. Simple's better. Log files are very good, folks. Everybody should log. routers, syslog daemons, gateways, other applications, intrusion detection devices. I mean, those are all be considered data collection points, and I'm sure you could think of others. Then it comes to the heart and soul of this thing, ORB. Now, ORB is an object repository base. It's a database, okay? It doesn't have to be SQL. It doesn't have to be scalable. It can be friggin' flat files, all right? It's just a place where we're putting all the raw data. And we got some animation. All right. Well, basically what you're going to do is you're going to create your own ORB. Your own database. It's going to have signatures in there, constructs, attack signatures, exploits. It's going to have reference material, pretty much as much information as you can get about whatever your network is and whatever your concerns are. And we get them in this big database. Now that we have the database, we can actually start doing some things to the data. So we have discovery engines, okay? And I'm using engines and objects and all that stuff, you know, because it makes it look more like, you know, a real product. Contains the query and routines and logic objects. Basically, what this allows us to do is query the back-end system and also shop jobs to our object broker. You may not have in-house capabilities to do the exact process that you want on this raw data. So what you can do is, since it's all object-oriented, we can go to an object broker, and it can go out there and find somebody that can do it for me, or other people can write objects that can be utilized by this system. And we have a response engine. I thought there was also some discussion about, you know, attacking your enemy, and is that okay? I can tell you for a fact, if you download this white paper, there is a quote from Louis Frisch, FBI guy, and he basically talks about how everybody that's coming out of training is being issued a gun, a badge, and a laptop, and that they will, in certain situations, you know, under government or presidential directive, they will actually attack another network. They have no problem doing that. Civilians, however, are not allowed to do that. It depends on the state you're in. I think Michigan has a pretty liberal law. And then we have the object broker or logic. If we don't have in-house capabilities to process the data stored in our in-house ORB, we can actually broker those transactions out of the system or to subsystems, more protected systems in-house. All right. Well, that's the pitch for a firm, and that's my day job. But it really led up to us to be able to develop this. HackSec wanted to develop... I go to HackSec a lot to find out if my ideas, you know, if they're crazy, can we do this? They said they thought we could put something together, and at that time we hadn't decided what we were going to do, and then I saw this. This is a snippet of the manifesto that JP put out, where he basically states that he is changing his directive, and I'm not sure what it was all about, but the thing that struck to me was that he was talking about profiling. And I know that he has this database that's 33,000 whatever entries, and I know that it's only for the elite government people that pay him for that access. So I was a little bit concerned that there's a lot of smoke and mirrors and not enough open science involved in this. So we felt that this was the way to go. We also thought we could come up with some cool names and graphics to make it look good. So. Profiling. We want to give a new profiling definition, all right? I'm going to read this verbatim because I had to go for a couple times. Profiling. If the act of profiling is concerned with the collection and analysis of empirical data, okay, these would be those object properties or characteristics that we were talking about. The desired result of this activity is to produce decision support capabilities. You want to be able to predict behavior. Okay, that's our definition. So going along with that, what does this AFFIRM approach, and I didn't give you the acronym for AFFIRM. Do you guys want it? Let's see if I can remember it. The other thing here, we had actually, we've had some problems getting this out. We've had two attempts to stop this. Anybody that wants to talk about that offline, buy me a beer and I'll tell you the whole sordid story. But we had to change the name at the last minute. So we changed it to AFFIRM. We think we came up with a better name, but it stands for Active Forensics Intelligent Response Method. Okay, and it's a total methodology, it's a theory, but we have been actually using it in the field. Keep it simple. That's one of the predicate that mandates for AFFIRM. Got to keep this simple. All right. The more difficult it is, more complicated, the more likely it is to get screwed up. We must be able to provide some continuing support for it. Okay, if we go and find something that's great and it dies on the vine, and support is resources, it's going out, talking to people about, get them excited about it. Must have multiple or varied information sources. Okay, this is so important. If you make all your decisions based on single source information, okay, you're going to fail. You're going to have problems. That's how you verify. Trust no one, verify everything. It must provide modular logic. Now, when I talk about modular logic, that's just a fancy. Anybody heard the term mobile code? Okay, it's really part of object brokering, and it's the fact that, you know, we're not going to have everything in-house, so we have to have the ability to bring in other logic, and we use that term modular logic. We can also export our logic, so if you need some help, we can ship you an object that can do it. And we must also have a system for rating and purging the information and its sources. Okay, all right, now we're ready to get to the good stuff. The key success factors of the challenge. What's going on? I don't have the raw data, guys. Okay, the data that we have in-house was never collected to be put into a system like this, so we don't have a database. We need one. We also don't really have any field-proven logic. We've got some things that look good with our limited database, but we haven't had a chance to really, you know, run them through the ringer and develop the logic and the algorithms. So that's an issue. Okay. Well, am I crazy? Getting up here and talking to you all guys about this? Maybe. I got to design a classification system. Okay. Maybe we can do that. I got to create a user interface. Well, that was the least of our worries because we've got Ion12 that does all our graphics for us, and he's really good. So we knew he'd come up with something cool. And we have to populate the database. Now, this becomes a problem. You know, I got a mortgage and a wife, and it's, you know, difficult to do projects like this, especially when you have to build a large database and you don't have a lot of resources. So that was probably my biggest concern. You have to evaluate the logic and the algorithms, okay? This is stuff that we do day to day, so this wasn't such a big deal. And we also were assuming that we were going to get some help from other people. There are lots of good research on statistical modeling and things like that, so we have access to those, and actually would like to talk to anybody that has some of those when this is over. And we must be prepared to defend the methodology and approach, okay? I'm ready to do that. And anybody that's doing profiling today, we can talk about it. If we have things that we agree on, fine. If we disagree, we can do it in a public forum. I have no problem with that. Okay, here we go. So where did I start? Dungeons and Dragons. I went back to the roots. What? AD&D character sheets, all right? Yeah, I'm dating myself. Actually, it was just D&D or chainmail back then. It met all the requirements. Simple. Let's think outside the box. Required very little tweaking. Okay, remember the classification system. That was the first thing I had to come up with. Provides a common point of reference. Anybody that's ever played D&D or any war games or any of the newer games where you have the heads up and all your stats on one side, okay? Provided the inspiration for a user interface, okay? We didn't need to worry about the layout because it had been evolved over a period of time. Now, from the gameplay side of things, All objects interact according to rules. Think about it. You know you got your fifth level paladin. You know he's got his singing sword. And when he sees a hobgoblin, you know kind of how he's going to react. And you can throw that into an algorithm, roll your random numbers, and you know how the outcome is going to happen based on the rules. The DM is the tiebreaker. Now, that's what we're going to get to, because what we're basically doing is decision support. So you're at your consolidated screen. You need to make a decision. You punch up the stuff, and you come back, and it gives you something, a probability of 50%. What am I going to do? Well, at that point, you're still utilizing the art, okay? But hopefully, you're making a much more informed decision. So we went from this, character data sheets, which define the character object property so well, to this. This is a screen it's an actual screen from the web page that we put up. It should be up, hopefully. It's not, we did it before we left. And we're introducing Project Profiler. Okay, this is an internet experiment. Effectively, what we've done is we put up a web page, and we are soliciting people to come in and fill our database up. We want to know about certain types. Characters. I want to know who are the mages, who are the newbies. We've got a whole system. You can go through there and look at it. We're going to execute this experiment in three phases, and we'll talk about those phases. We're going to make it open. It's extensible because of the way we've designed it. It's scalable, and it's free. Okay, I think that's the most important thing. I think the open and the free are the most important thing, because that is the only way we're going to find out if in fact, this is something that we should be doing. Project Profiler, phase one, we have to build the database. Okay, that's where you guys come in. The page is up there. We want people to come in, fill the database up. We're going to open up for questions. I know there's going to be a lot of questions about, I think the database will generate the most questions. For 30 days, we're going to leave this thing open. Now, if they're going to get any hits and nobody fills in the databases, we can't really go to phase two. So it's very important that we get this this support, hopefully from this community especially. Then we go public with the database. All right, and this is where everybody that's participated gets to access the database and pull up information. And in phase three, we have to refine the profiling logic. That's going to be a very important part of this process. A little more detail. Phase one. If you go to the web page, I've got flyers. I'm using profiler.com. It's got a zero instead of an O. Phase one, we'll populate this database. Phase two, 30 days later, we're going to open up the database for live queries. Now, because of the algorithms that we're trying to develop and you know rate and make sure that they're better, we are going to implement an update capability into it. Quite frankly, we're not sure exactly how we're going to do that. Obviously, I think the thing that comes to mind is you're going to have a lot of people putting bogus data in your database. Well, this is true. We think we figured a way to purge that and rate it. And part of that is going to require update capabilities. So when you see something in there that you know is not right, update it, change it. And then phase three, we're going to introduce publicly some of the algorithms that we're using. And I'll talk a little bit about this. And again, this is the real theoretical part. But we've been talking about it, and we think it makes sense. 6 degrees of separation. Ever played that game, the Kevin Bacon thing? I also feel that there's 6 degrees of separation between pretty much any of the enemies that are wired. Enemy is enemy, okay? I'm not taking white hat, black hat. Enemy is an enemy. 6% degree of separation says that everybody's going to kind of know each other, and if you can track people back through that web of web of deceit, you will be able to find connections. Now, there's an interesting, is it the sex list?
The sex chart.
The sex chart. I don't know how many of you people have seen the sex chart. How many of you in this room are on that chart? We're going to out every single one of you here. But the thing is, it's a chart that basically shows everybody who's had sex with each other, right? And it's this huge, long scroll that's version... version 9X. Yes, it's crazy. But that's what 6 degrees of separation is. By building profiles or an orb or data that knows who in what context, it might be possible to ascertain very valuable information about who you're doing, even though you don't see them doing it directly. Who are you dealing with? Who you're doing. The sex list is still in mind. We do a lot of this with when we track down bank transfers. Okay, they go through many different laundering points before they actually get to where they're going. That's a method that is commonly used. Associates. Here's the one. You ever seen any of the good mafia movies where the feds are all in the room and they've got all the pictures of the family and they've got the head boss and all his underlings and everything like that? And then there's blank pictures. We'd be looking to try to identify who the blank pictures are based on all of their associates. That's one of the theories that we're going to try to put into play, and that'll be in there in the first queries. The reason we're not showing you any of the algorithms for this right now, they're very sketchy, and quite frankly, we would be embarrassed to have you guys look at it. But we will have something for everybody to see after the next 30 days, which will be the queries. Maybe before. We don't know yet. There's also the black hole theory. And the black hole theory is this. We have a lot of people that are making decisions based on publicly available information. Okay, we all know that we can easily be manipulated. The truth can be fine-tuned, spin doctors and all that stuff. So how do you really find those elusive spooks, the dangerous ones, okay? Maybe the professionals that are no longer part of the Soviet Union. I mean, we spent a lot of money bringing in their nuclear scientists because we were worried about dirty bombs, but we really didn't do anything about their intelligence agencies, and I think we're seeing some of that problem right now. So there are hired guns out there. These type of data mercenaries or spooks, okay, they're not script kiddies. They're probably not at this convention. If they are at this convention, they're working at the hotel as a waiter or something, because they do this, you know, for whatever reasons. How do you detect something that you can't see, that's invisible? The black hole theory. How do people detect black holes? It's not that you can detect the hole itself, but you can detect how it affects the things around it. So this, in some respect, is related to 6 degrees of separation. However, it's a different application. Anybody seen the program Faces? Anybody ever watch America's Most Wanted? Well, this Faces program is pretty cool. It's got a bunch of ears, a bunch of hair, a bunch of eyes, and when people are trying to figure out who assaulted them, they can actually pick components out and build a face. So it's a lot less expensive and easier than traditional artists. We're going to add some of that. We would like to be able to take an object characteristic of, say, you'll see some of the names up there, but I would say let's take he's a bad guy, he's a professional, we're not sure if he's a he even, but we do know certain things about him, and be able to take these objects and drop them in and create a baseline profile of this individual or this type of individual. And that really was inspired by Faces, so I wanted to give them props on that. Alternative information sources. We need to develop it, okay? I know some of the guys in my crew will certainly agree, coming out of the front door of any network, we do some vulnerability testing. That's such a pain. Why do it? That's where they spend all their money, at the front door. Alternative information sources. Go read somebody's corporate profile in the annual report. Lots of good information there. Look for information in places that you normally wouldn't. It's very interesting to listen. Anybody listen to the BBC? Okay. Listen to the BBC and then listen to one of the other major news outlets and how different the stories are, okay? I think you can develop a lot of valuable information by getting two stories that are very different, and we get this hybrid, and maybe that's, you know, those two stories somewhere in the middle is where the truth lies. So we want to develop those. We're also going to practice full disclosure. And when I say full disclosure, I mean it in the truest sense of the words. So here it goes. It might not work. This might be all a bunch of bullshit. Okay? I may be full of crap. I may be crazy. We don't intend to regulate the use. Okay? This has some of some of my daytime people that I deal with a little concerned. It possibly has something to do with why we've had some delays in this, but we're not going to regulate the use. We don't feel that the internet community, specifically you folks, would participate if we would put censorship on it. So that's one of the things, good or bad. And we do plan to develop some commercial code based out of this, not from the database, but from the algorithms, because that's where the money's at. And that's where we want to be. We also, since it's going to be open, we anticipate, hope, if it's embraced, that other people will be able to develop this modular mobile logic that can plug into the system. Okay, in conclusion, regardless if this particular project works, we know that people are going to still go out and look for this silver bullet. We're hoping to add, you know, our 2 cents. We're hoping to open this up. There's no reason this stuff needs to be hidden. It's the same thing with encryption, okay? Would you trust an encryption algorithm that you didn't see the math to it, okay? PKI, it makes my head hurt, all right? But I know a couple guys that are really good at it. And if I'm going to use something, I have them look at it, and I trust them. It has to be open. I don't know what some of the other people are doing. We're going to try to open all our research. And we need your help. This will not work without your participation, and we'd like you to, you know, at least give it a try. And that's it, folks. So I guess we're going to open it up. We've got 20 minutes, 15 minutes. Questions, comments? What's that? Okay. The question is, it was related to the database, and I didn't hear it all. Sorry. Okay. Right. Are we looking about personal information? Right. We are not necessarily looking for names and addresses of people. When we talked about this, we said, well, you know, that's what our own personal database is like. Don't we need that? No, we're looking for more because JP's database looks like that. That's been his big claim to fame, that he knows all of us. He knows where we live and our real names and all that. That doesn't help decision support. If I'm going to come and arrest you, that might help me. If I'm going to set you up and have your systems knocked offline, you know, that gives me leverage. But in decision support capabilities, knowing exactly who you are can help, but I'm more interested in your capabilities. So when we look at the form of the information that we're taking, we're trying to get a feel for the person that's entering the information is going to give us their capabilities, some of their NICs, known aliases. We look for a real name, but we don't go for Social Security numbers. We're not going for any of that because it's not really germane. What we're trying to do is develop this logic that allows us to make good decisions. We did get some comments on, I'm not giving you any data. Why would I tell you anything about myself? And we think many people won't tell about themselves, but they would love to tell about somebody else. So we think that the database will get populated. If for no other reason, people ratting each other out. Did that answer your question? Okay, right. That is a bigger goal for the Affirm methodology itself. I mean, that's something that we're trying to get put in there. For this particular profiling, we will list capabilities, and we will try to look at personality traits. There's a couple computer programs that will take a regular piece of text, and they will write it in the the style of, say, a Shakespeare, okay? So we are going to be looking for things like that, but that's not really part of the profiler project. Over here on the end? That we're reliable people to be judgmental? You don't. You're just going to have to trust us. No, You don't. That's one of the problems that we feel we're going to have with data collection. Good. Yes. Correct. And that's one of the reasons that we. Okay. I'm sorry. The question is, how do you know that the information sources that you're getting are correct? How do we verify that our data is correct? That's a good question. Thank you. That is where this refining process comes in. We're not going to require that you give us a name or a handle to who submits, but we are going to ask for it. So over a period of time, we're going to have empirical data to find out how good your information is. If you're giving us crap information all the time, we're going to do it. It's statistical modeling. We're going to weight your information at a negative. You have bad information. You can still submit information, but you're not going to have a high rating on yours, and it'll probably get lost in the numbers. Now, that's the process that's going to happen over that first 30 days. Just because we haven't opened up the database in those first 30 days doesn't mean that we're not doing something. We're going to be looking for ways to do that. And most of the data, when you look on the queries, will have a plus or minus rating. Okay? And that'll try to put out there, what's our margin of error? So that is a big challenge, and that's where we think, you know, hopefully if people get involved, we're going to get some real good out here. It's an eBay thing. Sorry. Yeah, we think motivation will come out of some of the classes. The question was, are we going to try to track what motivates the attacker? We think that is an important characteristic to be able to predict what their next move will be. So yes, we are going to attempt to gauge that and track it and expose that. That really comes into some of the classification types. We go back to D&D, you know, fighters. Right. Let me go also say that I did not look at any of the FBI research. This is something that came out of, and that's why it might be all bunk. But I think people are motivations are a little more sophisticated than a yes or no. Certainly, we're going to attempt to try to gauge that. Anybody has suggestions on it, definitely see me offline or send us email, because we're going to try to incorporate all of that in. I'll get you in a minute. Yep.